this watch here, you don't have to worry. It kind of insulted me, and a fellow gave me this watch. You know what it's got on it? It's got a calendar on it. It tells you the day of the month. I said, what in the world's the matter with you? He said, I've heard you preach twice. I said, bless God. You don't need a watch. You need a calendar, brother. I said, yes, sir. And one fellow gave me, I might have had him when I was up here before, one had a alarm clock on the thing. And you could set it, and he'd alarm, ding, ding, ding. And I'd set it just for fun, you know, and I'd be preaching at 12 o'clock, and they'd go off, man, I'd say, oh, that thing, I'd throw it down. I'd say, we're not going to quit now, and I'd just keep right on preaching. But this has got a calendar on it, tells you what day of the month it is, but I don't go for that. In fact, I don't go for anything but the Holy Ghost when I get to preaching, at least. But if I get through preaching, we'll go out and have something to eat and come back at 3 o'clock. Now, in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, I want you to see something. I never heard this called this till the other day. This great portion in verse 1 through verse 8 of Matthew 17 is a rehearsal of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. And here we have a rehearsal, that is, getting ready, or picture what's going to happen when the Lord comes. We're going to be called up to be with the Lord in there. That's what this was. They went up and went to be with the Lord. What's going to happen when Jesus comes? We're going to be called up to be of the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to notice. Beginning with verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now, Elias is the Greek word for Elijah. I used to wonder why in the world he called him Elias here and Elijah in the Old Testament. Elias is the Greek word for Elijah. And the Bible said Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. Now Moses had been dead 1,500 years. And here he is alive and talking on the mountain with the Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah didn't die. He went to heaven alive. Now notice verse 4, and then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now Simon Peter was a Baptist. You say, you don't know? I know he was. He wanted to go into a building program. Hallelujah. That's why. And he said, let's build three tabernacles and stay up here. It's a good. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice what he said. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Now let me say this. That's the second time that God spoke out of heaven concerning his Son. The first time he spoke was at his baptism. The first time he spoke, he didn't say what he did the second time. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, he did. Oh, no, he didn't. The first time God the Father spoke, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But notice what he added the second time he spoke. He added, hear ye him, the second time. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing. You see, he said, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now notice, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Oh, what a blessing. I'm glad the scripture said it. When they lifted their eyes, all Moses was gone, Elijah was gone, and Jesus was there by himself. What a blessing. Now, every head bowed and eye closed in just a moment. I'm going to bring you the message this morning on higher ground, or it's worth it all. And while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many people this morning you know Jesus? Thank God you're saved, and you know you're dedicated, and you know that you're right with God. There's nothing between you and the Savior. Hold up your hand. Let me see it this morning. If you know you're right with God, you're saved, God bless your hearts. Amen. Now you can take your hands down below it. Let me ask you the second question. How many of you could not lift your hand, and you're not right with God? Would you hold up your hand? Let me see it quickly. Would you lift it up? Let me see it right there. God bless you. Amen. It's another. Brother Meeks, I'm all right with God. Pray for me. Hold up your hand. Let me see it. I want God bless you, sir. I see that hand. It's another. You say, Brother Meeks, I'm all right with God. I couldn't lift up my hand. It's been right. God bless you, young man. It's another. Lift up your hand. Lift it up. Then you take it down. Anybody else? Anywhere in the house. If you're here this morning, beloved, it, you're not right with God, lift up your hand. Let me see it. Anywhere else? All right. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for these days. Oh, how we've been blessed with prayer. How we've been blessed with the Spirit of God working in our midst. Oh, how we've been blessed, Lord, by the word of the Lord. And we thank thee that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank thee, Lord, for the church. And we thank thee, our Father, for Brother Cliff. And we thank thee this morning for everybody. Now, God, save the unsaved. Reclaim those out of fellowship with you. And, Lord, may we see the high ground. May we recognize it's worth it all. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you on it's worth it all on higher ground. I've always preached this, that we are not living up to our possibilities. We used to sing a song, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Oh, on heaven's tableland, a mere higher than I have found. I believe this morning, bless your heart, it's worth everything to get a little higher with Jesus. It's worth everything to be lifted up above the shadows. It's worth everything, my friend, to get on the mountaintop of Jesus. My Bible said Simon Peter liked it so good. He said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles and stay up here. Beloved, when we get refined, we get on top of the mountain. When we get refined, we get to higher ground with the Lord. I'm glad the scripture says that Jesus took them up higher. Now, beloved, here in the Bible, that is known for four things. It's never God's will for you to live in the valley. If you're a preacher, it's never God's will for you to live in the valley of defeat. And the valleys of the Bible stand first of all for defeat. And bless God, we're not defeated. I'm glad greater is he that's in you than he that's of the world. And praise God, there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not a defeated people. We have victory, Brother Black. And then secondly, that is stand for kids. And God does not want us to live in kids. I'm glad Jesus said, my joy will be full. And Simon Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and full of great glory. And then my friends, balance, stand for death. And we're not dead. I realize that some Baptist churches are dead. And I told them in Atlanta, Georgia, about some Baptist churches, I'd hang a wreath on the door. Big green hypocrite, let folks know it's dead. Oh, it's a sad thing when the church dies. But I'm glad I'm not dead. I'm alive evermore. And then in the fourth place, the loving balance in the Bible stands for that which is contrary to God Almighty. And the Lord wants us to go higher. You say, preacher, maids, there are five things. I want you to notice from the scripture this morning. First of all, God's mountains are worth climbing. Hallelujah. I'm glad, though they may be steep and though they may be high, God's mountains, beloved, are worth climbing this morning. Aren't you glad that you're climbing the mountain? Brother, when you get to the top, there's a table spread where the saints of God are fed. At the top of that table, on the top of that mountain, there is victory for God's children. And it's never, my friend, God's will for us to stop halfway up the mountain. Now, what do you think would happen if Moses had climbed all the way to the top of Nebo? God showed him the promised land. God showed Moses the land of rest and the land of honey and the land of peace. I say to you, beloved, you'd have missed something. Have you not climbed the mountain with me? Oh, I'm so glad. Every once in a while, Jesus takes me up on the mountain above the world and above the crowds and above the things of sin. I'm glad for that this morning. Look what Elijah would have missed if he hadn't climbed that mountain called Carmel. The Bible says when he was there, he prayed, Father, let the fire fall from heaven. And the fire fell and licked up the water and licked up the sacrifice and licked up the wood. My brother, he found something on top of the mountain. A preacher called me in Atlanta a few months ago and said, Brother Mays, and I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. Oh, I don't believe I can make it to the top. I said, preacher friend, thank God, keep on coming. I said it may be hard, but thank God it'll get level at the top of the hill. Yes. I say glad this morning that up in God's mountains that we're climbing. You may be climbing the roughest mountain that you've ever climbed in all of your life. But praise God, when you get to the top, I'm glad there'll be something better on top. Oh, you say, preacher, what about the disciples? They went out on the mountain with Jesus, and there they saw the transfiguration. So remember, first of all, from this lesson, God's mountain that we're climbing. Secondly, you'll find, brother, that God's voice is worth hearing. And they heard God say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I will please hear ye him. How long has it been since you heard from God? Oh, they hear his voice. Did you know if I'd be in New York this morning, and if I'd walk down Fifth Avenue, and there's 3,000 people in cars, horns blowing, and my mother said, Mace, you know, I know, bless God, her voice. You say, how would you know it? Because I've heard it so many years. I'm glad Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How strange they will not follow. It's good every once in a while to listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm glad, hallelujah, God's voice is worth hearing. You take in the Bible, the scripture says, and God spake to Abram, and he said, Abram, I want you to leave the earth of Chaldeans. And Abram heard the voice of God. I got to speak to one night about this, about Abram. A little more came. I said, little man, you said that it's not called Abram here. And then you said over in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, when he offered his son, he called him Abraham. He said, why did he change his name? I said, son, Abraham paid tithes, and God put the ham on his name. The Bible says that he went over to Melchizedek, and he paid up his tithes, and then God changed his name and put a ham on it. Hallelujah. Instead of calling him Abram, he called him Abraham. But God said, Abram! And he said, Lord, I answer thee. And God said, leave your kinfolk, and leave your country, and leave the people, and go into land that I will show thee. Brother, to hear God's voice, it's the sweetest thing in the world. I'm glad my ears in tune with the voice of the Lord. And God's voice is always worth hearing. Look in your Bible, little Eli. And there's a little boy named Samuel. You know, I like to hear the Lord when he speaks to children. This little boy, I said, Eli, did you call me, sir? He said, no, son, I didn't call you. Go back and get back in bed. Little old Samuel ran back to his bare feet and called back in bed. And the Lord said, Samuel! And little old Samuel got out of bed and ran in and said, did you call me, priest? And Eli said, no, son, I didn't call you. Go get back in bed. And the next time you hear that voice, say, thy servant heareth thee. And that little lad called Samuel got it back in bed, and God spake unto him. And God said, Samuel! And he said, thy servant heareth thee. Brother, it's good to hear the voice of God. Oh, it's worth everything to be in tune with heaven and hear his voice. God's been speaking to some of you about what you ought to do for him. God's been speaking to some of you about salvation, and you turned down the Lord Jesus. God's been speaking to you about your home life and your church life, and God's been speaking to you, you ought to obey him. You'll never be happy until you obey the Lord. You'll never have peace, bless God, till you obey the Lord. Beloved Abram, heard the voice of God. Samuel, heard the voice of God. It's a blessing, brother, when we can hear the voice of God. God's is always worth hearing. The third thing, not only are God's mountains worth climbing, and God's voice is worth hearing, God's visions are worth seeing. Hallelujah. Oh, when you see the vision of the Lord. You know, I like this in the Bible, Ezekiel. My Bible said the Lord called him and told him to go down in the boneyard. Now, I preached in a lot of places, but I never preached in a boneyard. But God told him to go down in that boneyard. There was old bones for dead, and there were five. And he said, can these bones live? And the Lord said, prophesy. And the Bible said, he prophesied. And the Lord blew. The breath of God came upon those dry bones. And the Bible said, the ankle bones got together with the foot bone, and the foot bone, the ankle bone got together, the leg bone, and the leg bone got together with the knee bone, and the thigh bone. And they got together all the bones to the backbone, and the hip bones. marks the great irony. Oh, aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. God speaks it. Our sin. I'm glad it's good to be able to see God's visions. As we talked in Sunday school this morning, Isaiah had a vision. And he saw the Lord. Praise God. Anytime God shows you a vision, beloved, it's worth seeing. I tell you, I've been in a lot of times despondency and defeating, and God had pulled back and let me see the glory of the Lord. When you get a vision of God and get a vision of the things of the Lord, remember God mentions our sin. I'm glad. You know, the Bible tells us where there is no vision, of people perish. And you know why so many people are perishing today in the church? They lost their vision. Did you know I got a 20/20 vision? I go my physical. I went to the doctor here, bowed back. He said, "Mr. Jackson, I want to check your eyes." I said, "You have to check my eyes, brother." He said, "You read so much that I'm afraid you're going blind." I said, "Bless God, I can see better than ever." He said, "Well, Brother Mays, let me check." And he gave me a card about like this and got me about 30 feet back and said, "Read the top." I said, "Read the top, nothing. Bless God, I can read the bottom backwards." And I read it. He said, "Go." He said, "Take it, put it on the other eye and read the top." I said, "I'll read it backwards on this, and I'll read it the other way." He said, "Mr. Jackson, man, did you know you've got one of the best visions I've ever seen?" I said, "Bless God, my Bible said Moses is 120 years old, and he didn't need glasses when he died." Amen! Bless God. Man. You read it over there in the 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The Bible said after he was 120 years old, his eyes were not dim. Oh, he had a physical vision. But brother, we not only need a physical vision, we need a spiritual vision. And he saw the vision. And I told that doctor, I said, "Well, now, doctor, my eyes are perfect except at times." And he said, "At times, Mays?" I said, "That's right, doc." I said, "Sometimes I can't see the end of my nose." He said, "In the morning or night?" Well, I said, "It don't make any difference whether it's morning or night." He said, "Well, you'll have to tell me after. You want me to give you some..." Oh, he said, "I'm an optician." I said, "Well, doc, I'll tell you. I said, when I get to preaching and the fog gets down and the glory comes down, I said, and I look out and I can't see the communion table, I know the thing's getting right." Hallelujah. He said, "Brother Mays," he said, "I can give you glasses for farsightedness." He said, "I can give you glasses for nearsightedness, but for Holy Ghost fog, son, I can't do you any good." Lord, we need a vision. And the Bible said, "Well, there is no vision. The people perish." But beloved, this morning, let me say this. Oh, God's visions are our sin. How long has it been since you've had a vision of the Lord? Now, as a little boy, I know you may not understand this, but I saw a vision of Jesus hanging on the cross. And I can hear him say, "I'm dying." And when I saw the blood coming down, I saw the crown of thorns on his brow. I saw how he was bleeding for me. I want to tell you, I never got away from that vision. Because Jesus went down to Calvary and he suffered and bled. About 6 years ago, I went to Calvary. I'm going back in February, the Lord willing. I'd like to take Brother Cliff. I really would. I'd like to take him with me. I'm going down to Africa. And all around in the Far East. But you know, I'd like to baptize Cliff in the Jordan River. I'd like to take him out there. Bless God, that water's muddy. I'd like to put him right on the bottom. Hold him there a while. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. I don't mean to kill him. I mean just hold him. You know, my wife, I baptized my wife. She's a Methodist. She joined my church, or the church I pastored. She came down and she said, "I like to join the church." I said, "Well, you know the only way we receive Methodists? The pastor's got to baptize them." Hallelujah. And I'm the pastor of the church. Boy, she hated that. She didn't want me to baptize her. She said, "You'll drown me, short world." I never will forget, boy, the water was cold in the baptismal pool that night. And I took her back. There were 17 others baptized. 18 people the night I baptized my wife. And she is the number fourth that came. Boy, that water wasn't cold. Something was wrong with it. I found out why some of my members were so cold. I baptized them in ice water. That's right. Yes, sir, brother. They never did thaw. Some of that crowd I preached to never did get warmed up. They never did shed a tear. They never would holler glory. But you know, my wife, she's number four. She came down. And she's so graceful. And she turned around. I said, "Amen." I said, "On your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And I took her and put her right down on the bottom. Boy, and I got over to Parson Jack night she was waiting on me, and she said, Major Jackson, I want to ask you a question. Why did you hold me on the bottom so long? I said, I was going to be sure you were in the Methodist. I brought you out of that water. I said, I was going to be sure. Yes, sir. Bless God, just as sure as you're here. I'll tell you this. It's awesome. I'll go on together. But my three boys, and they're just little bitty boys. They used to play church, and I was glad. Well, I'm glad to see any children play church. But you could tell Lowell was my son. Boy, he preached on everything, including shaving on Sunday. He'd get the neighbor's kids over there, and he'd go to preaching, and he'd talk about preaching. Boy, he'd preach, and then he'd holler, Nolan, shout, "Hallelujah!" And I said, "No, listen, you're not supposed to shout because Lowell holler shout." I said, "Wait till the Spirit hits you, didn't you?" But yet, they'd be preaching. And poor little old Dale, he always is one that had to come to the altar. He got saved 9 times today. I want to tell you what, sir. He always. I was sorry for him. One day I came home up in Greenville, when we lived in Greenville. And there's just a little kitchen that's having a service, and invited the neighbor's kids in, his raining. And I heard old Lowell in there preaching. He said, "Bless God, if you saved, you ain't supposed to smoke cigarettes." He said, "You ain't supposed to go to picture shows." He said, "You ain't supposed to dance." And I never heard such preaching in my life. After a while, he said, "No, no," he said, "Woo!" He shouted around. He said, "All right, Dale, it's time to give all the call." Poor little Dale, he'd run to the altar and called out. So I heard him in there, and he was just having a service. You never heard it like in all your life. Well, and I said to my wife, I said, "Let him alone." We was back there, and she's tied to me. By the time I heard him, "Oh! Oh!" And my wife said, "Uh-oh, somebody's getting hurt. You better hurry." And I ran down the hall, and I looked in there, and the Lord had a little fella down, and he beat his head against that floor, and he said, "Pray in the name of the Father and the Son." And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm baptizing him in the floor. Hallelujah." And he just baptized him right on that. And I said, "Well, my heart, you're going to kill him." Oh, listen, but you know that they had a good time. Praise God. They enjoyed the things of the Lord. I believe this with all of my heart. Brother, we ought to teach our children to love spiritual things. Yes. They may not, but I'll tell you this. I know some Baptists are hard-headed. They ought to be baptized in the floor. Hallelujah. And softened up. Amen. But I believe this with all of my heart, and I believe you'll say amen. One of the greatest blessings is to go where Jesus died and he suffered and stand there and look at it at the place called Calvary. When I went there, I took off my shoes and I crawled on my knees and I got nearly up to the top. Brother Matty, the keeper of the garden tomb, the man that keeps Calvary, he said, "Brother Mays, crawl over about 11 or 12 feet." And there's where the blood came down. My little boy asked me, he was about 9 years old then. I made him almost 9. He said, "Daddy," he said, "when you get to Calvary and you climb up there," he said, "get me some little rocks and bring them back. I want to have some rocks from Calvary." And when I was on my knees crawling up there, I got some little rocks and I put them in my pocket for my little boy. And then I looked up and I could almost tear and say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I could see the blood coming down. I got a vision of Calvary. I went back 1900 years. I could hear the hungry mob. I could hear one thief say, "If thou be the Christ, come down." I could hear the other thief say, "Remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom." And I could see Jesus as he looked up and said, "Father, into thy hands I come in my spirit." Beloved, let me say this. We need a vision. We need to see the Lord Jesus on the cross. We need to see him risen from the tomb. We need to see him ascending back to the Father. We need to see him at the right hand making intercession. And we need to see him coming again for the church. And 7 years later, approximately, we need to see him coming with the church, the ruling reign of 1,000 years. God's visions are worth seeing. God's voice is worth hearing. Beloved, God's mountains are worth climbing. Number four. And then the five things I'll mention, the fourth one, God's presence is worth enjoying. Did you ever get around somebody and be miserable? I won't tell you folks I'm miserable. I wish I would like it. I get out of town, I go to a folks box, and a woman comes up and talks like she's got a bunion on her tongue. I want to tell you what to do. I'm miserable around the folks. Listen, when they can't talk plain, it worries me. I'm talking about and talk, put on all that old put on stuff. I like them just talk plain old country talk. Amen. I remember I got some kin folks, and I'll preach to them next week, by the way, up in Hendersonville already. And one of them went up north, and it's pitiful. She was riding in town, and and we went over this bridge, and she said, "Crick, crick." I said, "I don't have no crick." And she said, "Under the bridge." I said, "That's a creed, sister. Amen." Lord have mercy. I miss around somebody trying to talk some proper. I am. I miss around these little sissy preachers, you know.
Yes.
Oh, listen, I miss them around some of these high-browed, starchy church members.
Yeah,
I like it. Good old-fashioned kind of love Jesus. Yeah. I've been home around folks just what they are. I'll tell you, I just never could stand to be around somebody trying to be something or not. Oh, get up on a big pedestal, you know, and talk about how they, I can't, I miss them all. But then I like to get around somebody, and they're just sweet and tender, and they begin to talk about Jesus, and they begin to cry, I begin to cry too. And when you talk about a scolding time, we have just crying, having a good time. I like to be around people like that. Oh, listen, it's good to be in the presence, beloved, of someone you enjoy. I want to tell you, when you get in the presence of Jesus, you don't want to get high. Yeah. Simon Peter said, "Lord, it's good. Let's just stay up here." I want to give you something this morning. Old Enoch, he didn't love God. Did you know that? Till he was 65 years old. And then a little baby came in. I'll give Brother Morgan something on chew back here. I'll give him something to lock his jaws. I want you to listen. And when that little baby came in, Methuselah came, and I believe embroidered on that diaper. I don't know, but invisibly on that diaper. You know what I believe it said? As long as this baby lives, there won't be a flood. As long as this little baby lives, there won't be a flood. And the day that Methuselah died, the flood came. Now you listen. As long as that man lived over 960 years, brother, listen, the word of God wouldn't let the flood come. Now Enoch, his pa didn't die. He went there. But listen, after Methuselah was born, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Isn't that something? He loved the presence of God so good. He walked around with God for 300 years. You say, "Preacher, is that God?" Listen, I don't know of anything better than just walking with Jesus. Having that fellowship for 300 years. And then open your Bible, you'll find where Moses went up on the mountain and stayed with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came back down, they had to hide his face. They couldn't look upon his shining face. Look in the Bible, and you'll find where men walked and enjoyed the presence of God. Beloved, when I get in a good service, I don't want to go home. But I get to praying. You know, you'll think this is crazy. And I think it's crazy too, but I can't help it.